And as I said this morning, we considered the passion on the heart of Paul for the well-being, the salvation of his very own people. And so I thought this evening would be good just to open up this passage a little and use it as a window into the personal journey of a number of Jews to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed how they helped each other and how they helped others on that same journey. And perhaps this may help us on our journey of faith. And maybe as we come into contact with others, help others on their journey to come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, we'll be thinking particularly of Priscilla and Aquila. A man called Apollos will obviously be referring to Paul of Tarsus. But of course, the primary person in it all is Jesus of Nazareth. Look at how he's described just at the very end of the reading. He vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one. Perhaps before we look at this, it might be useful just to turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. You'll see that Paul has just left Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila. Some years later, you'll see he returned back to Ephesus, and from Ephesus he wrote this letter to the Christians at Corinth. And it gives you a little insight into his own heart, the heart that we talked about this morning. 1 Corinthians 9. And remember, he was a man who had been a Pharisee, a very legalistic, rigid Jew who sought to literally exterminate anyone who stood against Judaism. Here's his thinking now, verse 19. Though I am free, and keep in mind, he's writing this a few years after the events we're going to be looking at. It gives you a feel of probably the thinking of Priscilla and Aquila, as very close friends. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, the ceremonies of Judaism, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Gives you a window, doesn't it, into the passion of this man. He wasn't trapped by culture. He wasn't trapped by denomination. He wasn't trapped by his upbringing. He had become free in Christ. And though, as we saw this morning, he had that great passion and burden for the priority of mission to his own people, the Jews, and he realized their special place, as it were, in the purpose and revelation of God, yet here he is now as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether it's Arab, whether it's Jew, whether it's Irish, whether it's English, whoever it is, they need to hear the gospel. Whether they're weak, he becomes weak. He incarnates, as it were, where people are, and he comes alongside them. So it's a little bit of that that I think we see, particularly in this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. Let's just explore the interaction that happens in this story that I've been telling you. We need to think a little bit about geography and a little bit about history, just to set the scene. Don't switch off. It just gives a bit of colour to where we're at. After all, we're all shaped by our own particular geography and our own particular history. Where we live, where we come from, and the events that we've experienced. So if you can, in your imagination, think of four cities, four important cities that are alluded to or are referred to. First of all, I want you to think of the city of Rome. We mentioned this morning, over in the west, there in Italy. Indeed, the centre really of the whole Roman Empire. So much happening in Rome. Let's go down south to the north of Africa, to a city called Alexandria. Alexandria was quite a centre for Jewish people. And indeed, in the first century before the Lord Jesus, quite a number of decades before Jesus' birth, something very important happened in Alexandria. Jewish scholars came together and they produced the Septuagint, a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, their scriptures, the scriptures that Paul would have read, that all the disciples would have read, that Jesus would have quoted from. A Greek translation. Let's come directly up north into Greece, and then we're into the city of Corinth. Corinth was a melting pot of all kinds of peoples, maybe about 250,000 people living there in the first century. A very pagan city, but with quite, again, a strong Jewish presence. The Jews had really been spread right across the Mediterranean world. And then we come down just across from Corinth to Ephesus. Ephesus in what is the now Turkey. And that's where our story takes place, in Ephesus. But I mention those other locations because you'll see the reading started off with, after this, Paul left Athens, went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come. This is actually chapter 18, verse 1, just a wee bit back from our reading, if you want to look there. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, that's the Roman emperor, had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. We're not told how he found out about them. Maybe it was by going along to the synagogue. Because he was a tent maker or a worker in leather, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. I'm giving you those verses back in chapter 18 as a backdrop to our story of Priscilla and Aquila, because that's when we first meet them. We don't know how or when they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it becomes quite clear that they, together with Paul, who was actually quite afraid going into Corinth, he records this himself, he was afraid. And meeting with them and working with them in the trades that they knew, going along to the synagogue in Corinth, a very strong friendship developed. And it seems that Paul, together with Priscilla and Aquila, and later his own helpers, Timothy and others, they established a strong Christian presence in Corinth. It wasn't easy. Indeed, if I just give you these few verses, you'll see that quite a significant debate took place in Corinth, and Priscilla and Aquila would have seen this and been part of it. Let me just give you these verses. You needn't, if you want to glance at them, chapter 18, verse 4. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Verse 6, when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads, I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. Many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. So there you are, next door, as it were, to the synagogue. Christian worship begins to develop. And Paul continues his witness to Jew and Gentile alike. And even the warden or the leader of the synagogue becomes a Christian. A great debate arises. The Jews try to get the Roman authorities to crush Paul and this new movement. So much so that we'll just skip down to verse 17. There's a new synagogue ruler who also seems to have come under the influence of Paul and Priscilla and Aquila and Silas and Timothy and others. And read at verse 17. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio, the Roman authority, showed no concern at all. And that's where we pick up our story. So I hope just by giving you that little window, that background, you see that Priscilla and Aquila, this couple, together with Paul, have been part of the controversy or the debate that has been taking place in Corinth. A debate that seemed to follow Paul wherever he went, as Judaizers, very strong Jewish-minded people, us and us alone, were hostile to any thought of a Messiah called Jesus of Nazareth. But you'll see that groups of individuals were responding and were becoming Christians. So this is very much in the mind of Priscilla and Aquila as they now travel with Paul from Corinth across to Ephesus. Let me give you a little other background to Priscilla and Aquila, because I think this is helpful, because churches grow as people move. Isn't that strange? Churches grow as people move. And churches are all about people moving and coming and going and different personalities. And when you go to a church gathering, maybe 1 year later, it's made up of different people. Individuals appear. They come along. This is an exciting thing about what the Spirit of God does in a town or in a congregation. And you'll see that, you'll notice, if you might have picked up from the start of chapter 18, Priscilla and Aquila, they had actually recently come from Italy, from Rome. This is why I gave you the bit of geography. With his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. What's that all about? Well, here's another bit of history for you. Some of you may have heard of the Roman historian Suetonius. He records that under the edict of Claudius, mentioned by Luke, chapter 18, shows the veracity of the historical record we have here in the New Testament. Under an edict of Claudius, the emperor, he brought about the expulsion of, it was an expulsion order proclaimed during the ninth year of the emperor's reign. We're in AD 49, and it was directed against the Jews in Rome to put down the riots arising within the Jewish community there at the instigation of Crestus. Now put two and two together, and you see what's happening in Rome. What I've described in Corinth was also happening in Rome. riots were commencing around the name of Christus, the Christ. So much so that there in the very heart of the Roman Empire, Claudius the emperor gave a decree and he expelled Jewish people from the city. And as part of this expulsion, this is a very encouraging thing. Sometimes negative things happen in our lives. Sometimes things happen that are beyond our control. Maybe illness, maybe politics, maybe all sorts of things. I hope we're praying for that amazing movement of people that's taking place in the Middle East and in other parts. The movement of people that's happening because of economics. A shifting around of people. Well, here we have a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who had a trade going in Rome, and they're expelled. They're put out. They go to Corinth. Maybe they'd never ever heard of Saul of Tarsus. I'm sure they hadn't. But it was through that event that Paul meets them. They meet each other probably in the synagogue. They discover that they share similar trade, and Paul, needing income while he awaits the missionary team coming to him, he's working with them, working maybe in their shop, in their little factory or whatever it was. And as they work together, they share the gospel, they spread the gospel, and those events happen in Corinth. For 18 months, they work together, they minister together. And this couple, who maybe were not missionaries in the full sense of the word, now have an exercise of heart to move with Paul to Ephesus. And this is where, in a sense, we take up our story of the relationship of Priscilla and Aquila with Apollos. Before we do that, let me just note a few things that Paul says about this couple. And by the way, the six times this couple are mentioned in the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila, three of times is like that, Priscilla and Aquila. The woman is mentioned first. Now that's, I don't believe, by accident. Priscilla seems to have been quite a thoughtful, intelligent, influential person. There's a companionship here in Priscilla and Aquila. It's a lovely, lovely couple. What we know of them. A lovely couple whom you'll see in a moment become a significant couple in the stabilizing of the church at Ephesus and also the stabilizing of the church back in Corinth, which was facing a lot of difficulty. Paul, in that same letter, his first letter to the Corinthians some years later, when he came back to Ephesus alongside Priscilla and Aquila, writes this comment: "The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Priscilla and Aquila greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house." Now note that, meets at their house. We'll see in a moment the significance of that. In another letter later on, when it seems Priscilla and Aquila went back to Rome after Claudius lifted the edict, Paul gives us fascinating insight into this couple. Towards the end of his letter to the Christians in Rome, he says, "Send my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. And not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." That's fascinating. Because this is a Jewish couple. A very strong Jewish couple. "All the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." You see, if we could take time, and you can read it yourself as you read about Ephesus, Paul experienced great trouble in Ephesus. The whole planting of a church in Ephesus is a most fascinating thing. Most fascinating thing. I was watching recently David Suchet's two-part episode of the life of Paul. And he describes the planting of the church in Ephesus, where the worship of Diana influenced everything. And Paul and Priscilla and Aquila go into a culture which is totally pagan, where there are no Christians, where everything revolves around idolatry. This is how mission took place. And this is how it takes place today. And this is a challenge in an increasingly secular world. And in Ephesus, Demetrius and the tin worshippers and the metal workers really did not like their trade being affected by the gospel. And so we read Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives for me. Something happened in Ephesus where Priscilla and Aquila saved Paul. And he can say later on, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. So right away we have here a couple who are fellow workers, a couple who are marked by bravery, a couple whom we see are full of hospitality, a couple who are Jewish, but have a big heart for what God is doing in the world, in the world. It really comes out when we go to verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. Can anyone remember what I told you about Alexandria? Where was it? What part? North Africa. Good. What took place in Alexandria? The century before Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Oh, that's good. The Septuagint. What was the Septuagint?
Greek translation of the Old Testament.
Well done. Excellent. Excellent. Now, here's Apollos, a Jew, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Where are we? We're in the synagogue. Who's there? When Priscilla and Aquila heard him. You see, we're in a whole transition here. Here are two believers who've had a lot of experience back in Corinth. 18 months of experience of interacting with their own people and the Gentile people. And here they are, they're frequenting the synagogue where the Old Testament scriptures are being read and expounded. They're still very much Jewish. But notice, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home, explained to him the way of God more adequately. And here's the interesting part. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, Corinth, where we've spent about 15 minutes or so tonight, why would he want to go to Corinth? Why would he particularly want to go there? Well, it's Greece. It's Greek culture. Greek speaking. And he's obviously heard a lot from Priscilla and Aquila about what's happening back there. With his knowledge of the Old Testament, with his knowledge of the Greek Old Testament, well, Priscilla and Aquila identified him. He's the one who's needed over in Corinth. So what do we read? When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, Corinth, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. At a time, and it's a bit like today, when all kinds of weird and wonderful people are travelling around with all kinds of messages which claim to be from God, new converts and virgin churches that are being established, they need to know that they're having the authentic word. Graham was just sharing today about one situation where, maybe you've known this story, you've heard the story where an African believer was teaching what he thought was the word of God, and instead it was the Watchtower magazine he was telling. Just the same kind of situation. So here, verification is given. Yes, Apollos is reliable. So they wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, this is the interesting part, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And to complete the interchange, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived back with his friends Priscilla and Aquila at Ephesus. So what's happening here? Well, let me just quickly summarize the influence of this couple, this lovely Jewish couple who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who now have a big vision for the churches of the Gentiles, and particularly Jewish people. See what they do with this man Apollos. It says of Apollos, he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. I want you to notice, first of all, here's a man who's rooted. He's rooted in the scriptures. He's been studying the scriptures in Alexandria, and as he comes as a Jew to the synagogue, he's already come to believe in the Messiah. He's heard about the ministry of John the Baptist. He's already taken that step of repentance in preparation, as John said, prepare the way for the Lord. But while he speaks accurately, he does not speak completely. Look out for people like that. Look out for people who have had influence, maybe from the scriptures, maybe they've questions. They have an understanding, but it's not complete. But this man is rooted in the authority of the Old Testament scriptures. He's shaped by it. Says he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So here's a man who's rooted. He's been responsive to what he's heard about Jesus. He's convinced that Jesus is the one who is to come. But we're not told what was lacking in his knowledge, but there certainly was an incompleteness. But as Priscilla and Aquila listened to him in the synagogue, they come alongside him. They come alongside him to help him. They come alongside him, and this is the lovely thing we find about Apollos: with all his knowledge, he's teachable. It's terrible when someone isn't teachable. We all need to be teachable. Every one of us need to grow in our understanding. So when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. You can really begin to see what this couple's about. They're there at the synagogue. They themselves have come to a full and a beautiful faith in the Lord Jesus. They've been alongside Paul, but they're in that place to help their fellow Jews, to be a stepping stone for them, to lead them on, And here's an example of how they do it. Having instructed him, we read, Apollos went on to Achaia. He was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate. And here's the crunch point again, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Not simply another prophet, not simply another teacher, but this is the one who was to come. Just like John the Baptist himself had to come to that experience. Remember when he was in prison and he's beginning to doubt and he sends a message, are you the one who is to come or should we look for another? And Apollos comes to that same conviction. One further thing I want to tell you about Apollos. You've picked up already that he's quite dynamic. You've picked up already he's quite a man full of conviction. He's undoubtedly a good orator. He's very eloquent. And he can argue and he can reason. And such an individual gets a following. Gets sometimes a wrong following. A wrong following. They follow the personality rather than the individual. And when you read, as Paul now comes to Ephesus, meets up with Priscilla and Aquila, hears all that's been happening, and he writes a lengthy letter to the church at Corinth. In the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, he says, some of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, we are only servants. Don't follow personalities. And then Paul has this lovely, lovely statement at the end of his letter to the believers at Corinth. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. So he has come back to Ephesus. Lots of travel here. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has opportunity. What's that about? This man knew he had a following back in Corinth. And this man knew it was the wrong following. Paul has no problem. They're workers together. I really want you to go back to Corinth. Paul says, no. It's not the time. It's not appropriate. I'm only going to be a hindrance. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. You know what that tells me? Here's a man who's rooted in the scriptures. He's teachable. He's eloquent. He's a man who can argue his point, but he's a man who's humble and he's concerned for the glory of God. Isn't that lovely? And I thought it would be useful just to give you a little window into this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, Jews coming to faith and then sharing the gospel to a wider world. Apollos, a Jew, very strongly in the Old Testament, reasoning and telling and declaring of the Jewish Messiah. Perhaps that's part of my burden to see Jewish people coming to faith. Because when they come to faith in the Lord Jesus, they can be a powerful instrument to all other people in the gospel. Maybe something I've been sharing tonight, I hope has helped you where you are in your faith, to encourage you to grow, to encourage you to study, and also to encourage you to reach out to others and help others. Just a word of encouragement, a word of strengthening. Who knows, you might be shaping an Apollos. You might be preparing an individual to go to a situation where you know there's a need, a situation Do you know, when I was doing this study, I came along on the internet. Internet's a lot of dangerous things, but the internet has a lot of amazing, wonderful things. I came across Michael D. Justice. He's blind. And he does Bible studies that he posts up on the internet. And he was doing a little study on this, what I've been sharing with you tonight. And at the end of each of his studies, he records a prayer. And I'm going to read his prayer. I think it's lovely, because I think it just draws together what I've been trying to share tonight. Lord, I thank you that Scripture records the ministry of this Christian couple who were dedicated Jews, who completed their faith by receiving Christ as their Messiah. They moved around to various cities, working together for their livelihood, while standing firmly on the word and supporting leaders in the church. They also were willing to take an eloquent and learned man aside to expound from Scripture what they knew as the more complete way of God. Their manner seems to be one of accepting whatever role you had for them in your church, whether starting a church in their home or allowing others to become leadership figures. Their consistent desire to see local churches established wherever they located is a testimony of the importance of the many parts of the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, their type has been duplicated down through the centuries. May I be as faithful in the plans you have for me. Amen. Let's make that our prayer tonight as we conclude our time together.